struts like John Wayne, resembles Jim Carrey, and dresses like he's visually impaired. Because he is. Insight. Insight with Mark Farrell on the Progressive Radio Network.
Ah, yes. Good morning. Welcome to Insight on the Progressive Radio Network. My name is Mark Farrell. Thanks so much for hanging out with me on a Thursday morning. And Thursday always feels good in New York City, even though it's a different kind of summer. It's a different kind of Thursday. It's a different kind of every day as we try to rock through this recovery. Man, it's just still so weird to wrap your head around this, right? I mean, a COVID has just kind of overtaken our country, overtaken the globe. And yesterday, months into this, 1,500 lives were lost due to COVID. It's still unfathomable. We've got a great show coming your way. I'm going to talk about a lot of things that I've been doing this summer that may impact you and give you some ideas and spark some thoughts. And also, you're going to meet a great author, Nancy Pickard. Nancy Pickard, she's just written a new book, an incredible new book, Bigger, Better, Braver, Conquer Your Fears, Embrace Your Courage, and Transform Your Life. You're going to meet her in about 25 minutes. But I want to talk about some things that I've been doing all summer because, you know, we have a lot of time on our hands. Maybe not a lot of free time, but a lot of different time. And so one of the things I did a couple of weeks ago was for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. They have two walks annually called Out of the Darkness Overnight Walks. And you've heard me talk about these walks on the show before because these are the two big fundraising walks. They usually have one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast. And this particular one in June was going to be in New York City. And the last time I was here, I think, was in 2017. And it's a great walk. So from dusk to dawn, anywhere from 5,000, 10,000 to 15,000 people set out to walk against the stigma of mental health, raise critical funds, etc. And it's a great, great event. I started a long time ago when they did their first walk in Washington, D.C., and I'm trying to remember the year. I think it was 2002. Yeah, I think that was the first one. So I've been doing it for a while. Anyway, and throughout the year, they have these smaller community walks, which I host a lot of them in the tri-state area. And AFSP, of course, is a phenomenal organization. And, you know, with June coming and going, I was like, you know, I really, really am looking forward to this. But, of course, it was canceled due to COVID. And then they set out to have a virtual walk. But I said, no, virtual walk's not going to cut the mustard for myself. I'm actually going to get on the street, put my sneakers on, and put in some miles. And whatever mileage you do, even if you don't walk, they're fine. Obviously, they're interested in educating people. And of course, if you can raise money, that's great. So I'm like, yeah, well, I'm going to raise some money. If I raise, you know, a couple hundred dollars, fantastic. If not, it's a great thing to keep the reminder front and center and strong about the messaging of mental illness. So I chose to do 28 miles. Is that a random number? Kind of, but not. Because it was 28 years ago, my brother Mike died by suicide. And my home is near the Jersey Shore, about 50 miles south of New York City. So I figured, you know, this is a pretty good route. It's a nice hot June day, so I'll do that. So I mapped out 28 miles, which actually fell short of about 8 miles from my house, to kind of the loop I did. I kind of was heading towards the shore along the beach and then inland again. So I got to see a lot of different scenery, which is nice. So I did this by myself. In hindsight, I should have certainly had some different people meet up with me. But it was kind of something I thought of kind of the last moment. Actually, I can't say I thought of it the last moment, but I put it together at the last moment. And that's not something that I typically do, especially when it's an athletic endeavor. But sometimes I minimize things. And I think I minimize the walk because in reality, 28 miles is a pretty good clip. It's a marathon. Anything over 26 or 26.2 miles is technically a marathon. And I've done this distance before. But this one was kind of different because, number one, I was alone. It was in the daytime, so I was dealing with the elements. So the route itself was really, really gorgeous. I literally opened my front door at 8:30 in the morning and started walking. My wife's like, okay, my kids are like, have a great walk, Dad. So that's what I did, put my sneakers on, and off I went. And I didn't return until 6:30 at night. So it was a long, long day. Long for several reasons. Because what I did also, every 5 miles, which I had mapped out, I did a kind of a video blog and uploaded it, talking about where I was, why I was doing it, kind of my thoughts and feelings of the moment. And I thought that was a great way to tie in people on social media, remind people of taking care of themselves, how vital it is to check in on yourself, your mental health. A lot of us obviously have different life experiences right now, working from home, being a single parent, kids are not at camp. There's a lot of things they can't do and a lot of things we must continue to do. So it really isn't paramount time for people to be so astutely aware and cognitive of their feelings and whether they have anxiety, panic attack, anything else that can kind of slowly creep in and silently and or not silently wreak havoc on your life. And a reminder is about certainly what help is available out there. So here I am doing this walk. It was a gorgeous summer day in June, just a couple of weeks ago. And I enjoyed it. I loved it. And about the 5th mile mark, I'm kind of embarrassed to say this, I started feeling my feet. I'm like, well, this is kind of weird. Why would I start feeling my feet at only 5 miles into a 28-mile walk? And I'm saying to myself, well, maybe I shouldn't have worn my old sneakers. And the reason why I put my old sneakers on, because they actually felt more comfortable than my newer ASICS sneakers, which are not cheap, by the way. ASICS, I hope you're listening. I'm really not happy with your newest model. Anyway, so about 10 miles in, I'm still doing my blogs, feeling pretty good, getting closer to the beach. It's really, really hot out. So I brought water. I'm stopping at stores, just quickly going in, of course, with my mask and gloves on, which was kind of an odd thing because, you know, it's so hot out. And when you do this walk, it's usually starting again at dusk and going through the night. And they have planned water stops and meal stops, et cetera. So I didn't have any of this. Of course, I brought some money. So I had the privilege and leisure opportunity to stop when I liked. Then the miles goes on, 15 miles, 20 miles. I'm like, oh, all right. So now my feet are really, really hurting. I can feel blisters like crazy. And I was just kind of taken aback because this has never happened to me before. I've run marathons. I've done triathlons. You know, this is crazy. Why my feet bother me? I'm like, well, you know what? This is reflective of pain. Pain that people have in life due to all sorts of ramifications, of course, centered around mental health, mental illness, comes in many, many different forms. I had and still have anxiety, but I deal with it. I cope with it. I have a lot of tools in my kit that I know how to implement. And that's what is so, so important for everyone to know, like what warning signs and how to deal with it and not to be embarrassed about it, man. I mean, we're only human. Life takes its toll. You know, we have to be prepared. We have to know, you know, okay, you know what? This doesn't feel right. Maybe I should talk to somebody. Maybe I should talk to my friend, my spouse. And go see a doctor. I just spoke with someone the other day who's a family friend, a child of a family friend, who's going through a bit of a rough patch. It started with some alcohol, and she was on the wagon. She's AA, and she went off the wagon, got into a fender bender. So I was trying to coax her into understanding that this is all right. Guess what? You messed up last week. Underscore that. You messed up last week big time. But you can't change the past. All you can do is say, from this point on, I'm going to work my tail off on staying healthy, being there for my husband, and more importantly, being there for my kids. Because not only are you a parent, you're a role model. And you can show these kids, yes, you know what? I made a mistake. I did something really, really wrong that could have had dire circumstances, consequences. Thankfully, they didn't. But here, I'm going to prove to myself and to my family, my kids, that I can turn my life around. And I think that's vital. I mean, that's the best example you can do as a parent by proving how, even when you make a mistake, how you can right the wrong. So anyway, I was having this conversation and saying to this person that, you know, it's okay. We make mistakes. We slip. But just to be cognizant of that and to move forward. So hopefully she's on a good path and gave her some tips and information on coping techniques and got her to see or going to. I coaxed her into seeing a therapist virtually online and the perks of that as well. So here I am, you know, I'm doing this walk thinking of all these different things, all these different ways that mental illness impacts people's lives, including myself, and how I can actually impact people's lives as a speaker. When I'm not in radio, of course, prior to COVID, I'd be in schools and organizations talking about a bevy of topics, mental health, overcoming adversity, anti-bullying, drugs and alcohol, and more. All these things I think are so tied together cohesively because if one thing is a tipping point can trip another. Depression goes into possibly masking depression with alcohol and or drugs. If you're getting bullied, you can become depressed or have a lot of anxiety. If you're in a bad relationship, a bad marriage, work issue, etc. So all of these different things, you know, it's a huge, huge ball of twine. Each one of us, you know, what some of the balls are bigger and more complicated, and some of them are much more small, which is great. So here I am doing this walk. I'm at the 20-mile mark, and my sister meets me down the shore. She's like, you can do it. You know, I know you're walking really funny. Your feet are killing you, aren't they? I'm like, yeah. She's like, you know you can stop. I'm like, I know I can stop, but I can't stop. Do you think our brother Mike would have stopped? No. And I thought about it, but I'm like, you know what? My feet are shot at this point. So what does it matter? 8 more miles. You know what? I'll be in pain for that much longer, but that's okay. So I kept walking. And at one point I was like, you know what? I need a major distraction because it's so hot. I was soaked and I was getting a little bit bored. So I called a friend, Gilly. And man, I had a nice conversation with him, about a half hour conversation. And my dear friend, Gilly, gave $500. And so many people, when I posted online, I did not solicit any money online. I just told people what I was doing and posted those video logs, web logs, and told people the importance of mental health, as many people know, and said, if you'd like to donate here, never asked. Just I think I just put the link and said donations. More importantly, take care of yourself. And I got over $1,000. And a lot of the donations were from people on Facebook. And my kids kid me about this, by my so-called friends. I'm like, listen, all these people on Facebook, I have connections with, sort of, some of them through work, mostly through work, I should say. But I don't know a lot of these people. Knowing somebody on Facebook isn't just because you read about them. That's not a relationship. Having a conversation over time, et cetera, whether it's work-based or not. But just because someone likes something or actually donates to a cause doesn't mean they're a friend, but they're aligned with your mission and cause, which is awesome. And I was just really, really pleased with so many people and their great positive comments, man. That was just really, really heartwarming. And when I got near the finish a couple miles before it, my wife and two kids were driving towards me. My wife was beeping the horn, flashing the lights, and they pulled over. And my daughter pops her head out the sunroof. She's like, Daddy, you can do it. You can do it. And she starts singing a great song, old Frank Sinatra song, and made my day complete. And then when I got to the actual finish, which was a very, very welcome sight. It's pretty funny because it was on this sort of a farm road, and there was a huge stallion that just coincidentally fell along the 28-mile marker when I measured it out. And it's a stallion on its hind leg standing up very tall. And so that's where I finished my walk, and that's where my son and daughter were, my wife, and they were beaming, and I was happy, and we embraced. It was great. I'm like, all right, get me in the car and pump up that air conditioning. But my daughter, when she was sticking her head through the sunroof, she's singing Frank Sinatra's It's a Good Life. Which is a great story. I'll tell you about that and why she knows that song in just a few minutes. My name is Mark Farrell. The show is Insight on the Progressive Radio Network every Thursday and every day at noon. Gary Null, the founder of PRN, has a great show, and he will be following me today at noon. And also in a few minutes, you're going to meet Nancy Prickard. She is a great author, life coach of Bigger, Better, and Braver. We're going to meet her, and what brave accomplishment, what courageous accomplishment she's proud of, and I'm proud of her for doing in just a few minutes. So what have you been doing during COVID? to distract yourself. I've been doing two main things, lots of things, but two are my mainstays in terms of not being idle, being active physically and mentally. One of them is carpentry. I love carpentry. I'm always kind of building and tinkering something around the house. And my wife has been asking me for several years now to redo her closet, a walk-in closet. And I say my wife's closet because I only have a small shelf in there because I commandeered another closet down the hallway. And it's fine with me because, you know, she has more dress clothes for work. And I don't need to have that many hangers. So I have been dedicating a lot of time to redoing this closet. And let me tell you something. She is over the moon. I'm about two-thirds of the way done. And you know what? I'll post this because I'm really, really proud of my work. Proud of it because two reasons. Number one, I'm not a trained carpenter. I'm self-taught. Of course, I've watched guys through the years and read and picked up tricks and tips. And the other thing is being visually impaired. It proves that despite a disability or a perceived limitation, I can do on par or sometimes even better than what professionals do with carpentry. And a lot of different things I do in terms of the trades because I love it. When you have passion for something, when you have a lot of zeal, that makes you, I don't know, and also a thorough person. I love to do a good job. I'm meticulous, and I guess that says a lot about anything you do in life, whether it's cooking for your kids or washing your car or doing a talk show, right? You do your homework, and that's what makes you good. Anyway, so I've been working on this, and it's very, very therapeutic. Working with my hands, the smell of wood, sawdust. When you have a raw piece of wood stock, when I go to Home Depot and load up the hand truck with 8 pieces of 4x8 sheets of plywood, 3/4-inch birch wood, and come home and design it, mill it, glue it, saw it, assemble it, install it, paint it, and take awe at it. That's what I love. It's just very, very fulfilling, gratifying. Number one, to physically construct something with your hands and then walk away and see how beneficial and what purpose it can serve. And then to be like, wow, I built that. That's really, really cool. It's really, really gratifying. So no matter what your ability or what your skill is in life, get that hobby going, man, because you need this during COVID. You need to stay busy, whether it's yoga, which I love yoga. I haven't been doing it much because my yoga studio, Beacon Yoga in Freehold, unfortunately has closed their doors for good because of COVID. Not being able to afford their rent, et cetera. And that's really, really a sad thing. And that's just going to be, it's not the beginning. It's been happening for a few months now for people, small businesses. And I'm so sad, crestfallen. I really hope that the government does what they can to support small businesses. I know myself and I'm sure a lot of the PRN listeners are doing what they can to support small businesses. So whether it's yoga, whether it's painting, writing, walking, and that leads me into my second thing that I do to kind of keep myself busy, a great distraction, is cycling. I mentioned a couple months ago about when I was starting to ride earlier in the spring, pre-COVID, you know, the roads were normal, and then COVID came, and the roads were like totally quiet. Turtles can go across the road and take naps and siestas in the middle of the road and not worry about it getting hit. Well, for me as a cyclist, it's a dream come true. But unfortunately, that dream has passed, man, because the roads are crowded again. But anyway, it's a great source of release for me. And as I've explained to you a few minutes ago when I was speaking to my family friend, I was telling them that how vital it is to blow off steam, whether it's 3 days a week, 5 days a week, even if you have to do it every day of the week, whether it's just for your fitness regime to keep stave off weight gain. But more importantly, it's health management. Because if I can't work out 4, 5, 6 days a week, and it can't be, you know, balls to the wall workouts every day. No, like today's kind of a slower day. I'll do a bunch of push-ups, dips, squats right here in my basement. Yesterday, I did a 32-mile ride, and the last few miles were in the dark, which was not cool. I mistimed the darkness. Unfortunately, August is here, man. It's getting darker earlier. Anyway, so you got to do what you have to do, whether it's walking. As I was saying, I was talking to my friend, every day you need to go out, whether it's by yourself or with your husband, and just take those vital 30, 45, 60 minutes and call them your own to clear your mind. To think about everything, to think about one thing, or think about absolutely nothing except to get a good workout in. And that's very, very vital. So those two components for me, cycling, weightlifting, doing things physically for me, and also the carpentry aspect, keep me sane during COVID. Of course, my kids are an incredible distraction, which I love, 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 because they're just life. I mean, kids just ooze life and fun. Of course, they are not resilient completely to what's going on. Of course, we keep them in the loop, I guess because their parents are sort of, you know, current affairs, news junkies, but we parcel and we dispense information carefully. What is important, they need to know, and obviously kidify it. Does that make sense? Kidify? Yeah, it makes sense. I like it. Hey, you can call anything you want nowadays, right? but it's good because, you know, the camps are closed. A lot of places you can't go. I mean, I took my daughter the other day kayaking, and we had a blast. Rented a tandem kayak, $30 an hour, and it was the most fun we've had together as a family, not half, just half the family, in a while, because it was something new. It was something that we could do as a kind of an exploration. It was physically demanding, and you're out on the open water. It was just phenomenal, man. I just really, really was really psyched about that day, and certainly urge you, plead you to think about something that you could augment, going to the gym that you could do before, but now you can't do. But going to the gym, lastly, I love the gyms, and gyms are vital for certain things. But you don't need, and I know a lot of gym owners, and I hope they don't get mad at me, because they probably, yeah, they will get mad at me. But you don't need a gym. The gym is where you live. The gym is right outside your door. There are stairs everywhere. There are hills. There are places you can walk. There are so many different things you can do, isometric exercises. I should actually do a whole segment on this, which I will. In the near future, because I'm a staunch supporter of fitness for many reasons, certainly to stave off mental illness for some parts, or it helps you cope. You certainly can't stave off mental illness by exercise, but it can certainly help things more become more manageable. So in a few minutes, we're going to meet Nancy Prickard as the author of Bigger, Better, and Braver. Conquer your fears, embrace your courage, and transform your life. My name is Mark Farrell. Thank you so much for listening to Insight today and every Thursday. We're coming to you live from Midtown New York City. We're going to meet Nancy in just a moment. Thanks so much. We'll be right back.
Feel good. So much potential. the weekend's not looking that good, though. Around the East Coast area, New York City area, maybe Sunday will be salvaged. Anyway, it's all about the perspective that we hold, right? Mark Farrell hanging out with you on a Thursday. And Nancy Prickard is just an amazing person. I think after her title, Certified Integrative Life Coach, National Speaker and Author, it should be Superwoman, because she seems unstoppable in all that she does. Her brand new book, Bigger, Better, Braver, Conquer Your Fears, Embrace Your Courage, and Transform Your Life, is taking everyone by storm. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Sorry about that.
Hey, that's okay, Nancy.
I've been waiting for all this time. I didn't realize I was muted.
Oh, you missed this great intro I set you up for.
Oh, no, I heard it. I heard everything. I've been on for about a half an hour listening to everything you're saying.
Oh, good for you. Did you believe any of it?
No, actually, there's a lot that resonated. We have a lot in common, believe it or not.
I know. I think so. Big time. As a matter of fact, where do we start? Let's start at the top. How did the view look?
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. Amazing. You know, you're up 19,341 feet at the top of Kilimanjaro. And you have just done something that not that many people do, certainly not that many women at 61 years old. So it was a moment for me. It was just a defining moment for me. And the view is exceptional. The whole experience time? Was...
I can't even fathom. How much time do you actually spend at the Zenith?
You know what? You're not even up there 30 minutes, because what happens is that you're up so high that people are getting sick. The evolution, the altitude is too much for them.
Sure.
And so I was with a team, and you sort of had to make it so that you all ended at the same time. I actually started later than everyone else because I was in such good shape, and I live in altitude, that we knew from the whole week of climbing, I would get up there way too soon. So I started about an hour and a half after everyone else. And so I could time it, so I would get up there around when we all did, so we could take a picture and everyone could get back down.
We're going to learn your backstory momentarily, but talk about the actual feeling. I mean, you're on top of Mount Kilimanjaro. Talk about the emotional response that you had, because people will understand the background and what kind of lifelong journey it took for you to get to the top. But let me hear it in your words, the overwhelming feeling you experienced.
It just proved to me that I had it, what I could do. So it was really... It was really my own personal moment of, you've got this, girl. You know, you don't need anyone or anything. You can do it, because that's what it is. It's an evolution of your own abilities, your determination, and how you plan. I mean, just getting up there, people get sick. There's so many ways that you have to take care of yourself, that it all comes from just trusting yourself, loving yourself, and knowing you can do it. That's what it's all about.
And there's so many variables, as you just mentioned, but I think the underscoring word would be believing. Because if you don't think you could do an endeavor, a massive undertaking like that, I don't think you can fake it, man. I mean, you have to be, of course, you have to be physically ready, but mentally, the preparation must be huge.
It's mainly mental. I mean, yes, you have to train. I'm a trainer. You know, I owned a personal training gym in my earlier life. So the training and the determination and the setting goals and doing it every single day and telling myself, well, if you can't do this, you won't be able to climb Kilimanjaro. That's what keeps me in the game. And then once you get there, you know, you fly to Africa, you spend the money, you're 8 nights outside, all of those things that you're doing, you have to keep saying to yourself, this is what you want. You can do it. You have to take 100% responsibility for getting the job done.
And this has been, I can't say, and we'll hear from you, not a lifelong journey. In some aspects it has, but in others, it was kind of something that you never thought of or considered or planned, because for over 2 decades, you're in a marriage. You raised 2 boys, I believe, correct? And everything was turned upside down. And then it was reinvention time.
Correct. And actually, the reinvention didn't happen right away, because when you don't have the tools and something really unexpected and full of drama happens to you, you stay the victim in your story. And one of the reasons I eventually became a life coach was to help people recognize and learn the tools so they don't have to stay the victim in their story, and so that they actually learn that everything that happens for the evolution of our soul. Life does not happen to us, it happens for us. And when you actually can change your mindset to get around that, then regardless of what happens, you'll be okay, because we all fall. Nobody gets through life without falling. So how long we stay down is up to us.
Absolutely.
At that time, I stayed the victim in my story for a really long time.
Nancy Pickard, what were some of your positive characteristics in terms of who you were when you were married, and some of those negative ones? And what were the bigger ones that carried you through to ultimately becoming a different version of Nancy Pickard?
I was really happily married. I mean, I don't think I wanted anything other than the life that I had, but that's because I didn't actually recognize that I was living under the shadow of somebody else, because I was so busy thinking that this was my dream. You know, being a wife and mother really was my end game. And I was really happy. I didn't realize
as well as a business owner.
Yeah, I did. I owned a personal training gym, but that part was actually still not as important as my being a wife and mother. And so when that was taken away from me, I had to reinvent myself. And so I was always really strong emotionally and physically, but I always in the back of my mind thought that I was so strong because I had this man in my life and then I could do anything. So I had to reinvent myself to really, really love and trust myself and know that, no, I'm strong because I'm strong. Don't give somebody else the credit for how strong you really are. And because I had been married for 26 years, I saw myself through the eyes of how my husband saw me. So when he stopped wanting me, I stopped wanting me. So I had to really learn to love myself all over again. And I think that's really a big part of being a woman. We don't really realize that we have it all. We are strong enough on our own. We have all these beliefs from our childhood that keep us playing small, that keep us thinking we're not enough alone. And that's where the reinvention comes in.
The aspect you mentioned about being in the marriage and you felt small, was that self-perception or was that part of the framework of the marriage that your husband made you feel that way, or you just felt that role was one that you created for yourself?
No, I was married to a man who needed a lot of building up, and everything about him needed to be the biggest. And so actually once I owned the gym and I was working out all the time because I was a gym owner, we started doing marathons and triathlons and century bike rides together, and I started beating him in everything we did. And
I
did too, but I always had to downplay it. I always had to say to other people, well, I only beat him because I can train for 40 hours in a week and he works, you know, 90 hours. I always had to make myself smaller.
You had to give an excuse for him.
Always, always.
Interesting. And how was he accepting his losses to you? His bigger, better, braver wife.
Well, actually, you would think he would be really proud of me, but I think it really affected him. I mean,
yeah, no surprise.
Once we were divorced and I happened to literally like get next to him they have a century bike ride every year in New York City. And we just, by accident, ended up at the same place at the same time.
Wow.
And I went up the last hill, I think it was the Triborough Bridge, which was the only hill in the whole thing. And I passed him, and of course, then I beat him. And when I saw him on the ferry after, he said, I can't believe you had to pass me. And I said, Mark, I stayed behind you my whole life. But when I saw you up there, I realized I don't have to play that game anymore.
Eat my dirt.
Yeah.
And his name is Mark?
Yeah, his name is
Mark.
Oh
my God, that's hysterical. So it's no coincidence that your title is Bigger, Better, Braver then?
No, there's no coincidence. I live my life. That's a mantra for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mantra is, because we're, as you noted, we have a lot of alignment in life. As a speaker, my mantra in life, obviously every day for my wife, my kids, everyone, is my difference makes me stronger. That I reflect on as a person with a disability, but I mean, that applies to anybody. You know, you can take what you maybe perceived as a weakness in a marriage, but look how you catapulted and propelled yourself forward in life on multiple levels.
Yeah, and that's really that's the message to people, is that you can't see the big picture. You only see a slice in the moment. So when an upset, when a drama, when a bump in your life happens, take it as an opportunity for growth and not just, oh my God, what am I going to do now? I mean, even with COVID, there are so many gifts in COVID that people have to get out of, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. They have to turn it around. They have to be curious, use their creativity, reinvent their life for right now. And build resilience. I mean, there's so many gifts in COVID that you actually just have to like look for what's right instead of what's wrong, so that you can use this to the best of its ability.
Absolutely. And I think also on the heels of that, Nancy, people shouldn't feel really lacking confidence and possibly in their direction right now, because none of us, and I mean none of us on this planet, have ever been here before. This is all new on a personal level, on a professional level. Everything is being reinvented. And so I think when people feel really lost, and obviously there are mental health considerations as well, don't take this as a defeat. This is something that's completely new. You couldn't have read about this. You couldn't have prepared for it. You couldn't have researched for it. So use this as some time to be like, okay, you know what? I got to hit the reset button, because the whole world is hitting the reset button. And how can I step by step, day by day, whether it's by being a parent or through work or having hobbies and outlets in life that help you stave off anything and just be more like yourself during an uncommon era?
I totally agree. And I also think everyone has to have compassion for the emotional roller coaster that COVID has brought. Because there are days that you're up, but there are days that you're down. So have compassion, you know, recognize your fears, see what they're trying to tell you, but don't stay stuck in the muck, because that's on you. You can pivot, you can change how you're going to do things, you're going to look at the gifts in all of this, and you're going to build resiliency. And as a parent, that's like the best gift that you can give your children.
Invaluable.
Right?
Yeah, you don't want to stick on the sidelines of life. It's not fun. You don't want to be a spectator.
Right, exactly.
Nancy Pickard, so many things here. How much time elapsed from when you got divorced? Obviously, as a small business owner, you have some business acumen. Obviously, you're savvy, you're witty. You have a business model mind. So maybe it wasn't such a long shot, certainly, for you to become an integrative life coach. But how much time elapsed before you realized, man, I got the goods?
You know, I think I always knew I had the goods, honestly. I'm like a really outgoing, vivacious, smart woman.
Easy on the eyes.
Easy on, thank you. But that doesn't hurt.
Sure.
But I did still think that I could be all those things because I had the other. I was married. And so it definitely took me years to rebuild to the point where I stopped hearing or seeing his voice in my head and getting to trust my voice. So it did take time, but you know what? It doesn't actually matter how long it takes, because the bottom line is, if you can eventually get there, that's what counts. Because I would, at some point, I'm 64 now, I can't believe it.
But
at some point I was going to be 64, whether I was this woman I am today or not. So who cares how long it takes somebody to get there? Eventually, if you stay in alignment with your goals and where you want to go, you're going to get there. And that's the main point. I'm strong. I love myself. I'm confident. I am not afraid to try anything, especially like in my career, you know, writing the book. I never thought I would write the book. And doing all these interviews and Zoom and being a speaker. And I was on Extra a few weeks ago. I mean, this was not even in my viewpoint. I mean, it just wasn't out there for me. And that's the beauty of goals, is that sometimes on route to where you think you're going, you're going to go in a totally different direction that you never would have been able to see if you hadn't already been on route. That's fantastic. The beauty of it.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, you must look back and say, wow, you know, who could have thought X amount of years ago that I'd be in the place I'm at today?
Exactly.
You know, and especially being an author right now, so many different things. But you know what? That's kind of neat about how life kind of is an onion. You know, we just peel away at things. And when we're open to concepts, things can naturally happen. Of course, we would want them or will them. And obviously, we have to put things in motion for them to happen. But just think about, you know, what happened to yourself and what happened to my life and all the PRN listeners right now. I mean, we're all here for a multitude of reasons. Some of them we have control over, some of them we don't. And it's just kind of mind boggling. You know, when you think about at 60, you said, you know what? I want to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. I want to pen a book. And leveraging actually to the book, you talk about getting unstuck, segueing rather. How do people, all of a sudden, I find it miraculous that sometimes people just feel that they're so stuck they can't move. And it's, I think the biggest problem is themselves, because people become their own worst enemy. And obviously self-talk is so pivotal, because you need to be a positive, have that positive inner voice. But touch on that, Nancy Pickard, because obviously this is a big part of your book.
Well, I think that all of us live in autopilot. We're not really cognizant of everything that's happening, especially we get on emotional autopilot. I mean, part of what we do, we couldn't run or bike or do the things we did if we weren't on autopilot. But emotionally, we stop feeling our feelings. We just go through the motions, and we're not really paying attention. And we live in the excuses of why our life is the way it is. We live in our fears of the way it is. So the first thing you have to do is you've got to get out of autopilot. You've got to wake up to the fact that that's the way you've been, and then start to see what are the habits that you're doing that are actually keeping you stuck. What are the fears that are keeping you stuck? What are the disempowering beliefs from your childhood that you're not aware of that are making you play small? And as you literally start to move from fear to actually faith that the universe has got you back, everything happens for the evolution of your soul, and all you need to do is take one tiny little step forward, because then there's momentum. You know, everything is on the other side of your comfort zone. And little step by step by step is still movement. You're always going to be successful if you just keep moving in the right direction.
Mm, sure.
And you stay in alignment. It's going to come.
And I guess that's a testament as well to your desire to enter another relationship, because you went into another relationship. I'm not sure how much time elapsed between your marriage ending in divorce and being in another relationship that didn't end so well. But it's testament that, you know, the human soul is repairable, and courage is something that obviously propelled you forward to try it again.
Oh yeah, I've been in multiple relationships, but yes, I'm very happy in a relationship now for the last 3.5 years. But the relationships no longer define me. You know, it's like the cherry on top. They're great to have, but you still have the sundae without it. I still have me, I have my life, I have my health, I have my family, I have
Beautiful.
My friends, I'm a grandmother of four. I mean, those are the things that define me more than anything else.
Nancy, don't you find that so many people don't feel that way? They want someone else in their life to, I guess, pretty much to define them. I kind of like you were stuck in that marriage. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but so many people feel that their identity is made up by someone else. But you're so true and accurate by saying your identity is what you bring to the table. You should be your one entire entity. And together, you know, you form a bigger and better, stronger, more loving form. But it's paramount to have that solid foundation yourself.
Exactly. If you don't love yourself, then you're attracting somebody who also doesn't love themselves. You want to become the partner. Mm. You want to become the partner you want to attract. So you're actually attracting somebody who's already going to be sharing, you know, so much of what you're mirroring out there. They love themselves. They trust themselves. They share the same core values that you have. Because you attract that. You want to be that before you can attract it. Because if you don't really love yourself, I'm sorry, you can't love somebody else. It's more of a need, you know, it's more of a people pleaser, a neediness. It's not coming from a place of strength and self-love, which is
absolutely
where you want to come
from. Yeah. I've said that to so many people. I think probably on two hands that are still in my life, that are still in relationships, marriages, and I can just see that they're just not happy. And I knew, and they knew, they were in a position that wasn't healthy, but they were kind of checking off the list. I'm such and such of age. I need to be married. Now I'm married. It's been 5 years. I need to have a baby. I need to have a second baby. And they couldn't or can't even manage the marriage.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. Really sad.
But, you know, when someone like yourself comes forward and puts it all out there on a table in a book, Bigger, Better, Braver, Conquer Your Fears, Embrace Your Courage, and Transform Your Life, it's an example that, you know, so many different variables in life that we don't have control of. I mean, who would have thunk, you know, a pandemic, a global pandemic would be wreaking havoc where even just yesterday, 1,500 lives were lost. I mean, it's unthinkable. Here we are in 2020, you know, an unthinkable year, but we have no choice but to be resilient and one day at a time, get through it, master whatever we can do, whether it's being a parent, a spouse, doing excellent in your work, and shining on every example, and possibly creating a Mount Kilimanjaro episode in your life in 6 months or a year from now. Everybody has a mountain to climb in life, whether it's a metaphorical or a physical mountain. I tell a story about doing triathlons. I can't see the swim course, but I say everyone has a triathlon in their life. There's something they want to accomplish. Whether it's a physical or mental or a combination of both, but there are strategies, and your book helps put those in place.
Thank you. Yeah, I say to people, what's your Kilimanjaro?
Yeah.
You don't have to climb a mountain. You know, yep. It might be getting into a relationship. It might be getting out of a relationship. It might be leaving a job. It might be losing 25 pounds. I mean, everybody has something out there that's on the other side of their comfort zone that they've been afraid to do, that they live in their excuses instead of living in an excuse-free zone so that they can start to get there.
What I also love about your book, if I remove this or you remove this aspect from your book, it would still have all the relevance in the world, but the fact that you're over 60 is phenomenal, because we are in such a society now that obviously, not to bring too much politics into this, we have a president who's mean on many levels. And ageism is certainly something that I see that he is all for. So the fact that you're a woman, you're independent, you're successful in a business way, successful in an individual private life matter degree, and you can shine as an example that someone in their 60s, someone in their 70s, and someone in their 80s can be successful and just on a personal level. I was at a red light the other day. A gentleman pulled up to me, and I'm one of the cyclists who's a friendly cyclist. There's a lot of snobs out there. I'm like, hey, how you doing? He's like, great. He had an Irish brogue. We're talking for about 15 minutes. He's 88 years old. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you're out there, by all means, you got much, much life ahead of you. And with this perspective, I take my hat off to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. My dad skied till he was 92 years old down.
Oh, I love it.
Down Black Mountains with me. Yep.
Fantastic. And what about your mom?
My mom, I think she stopped skiing in her 60s, but she's 94 right now. She plays bridge online 7 days a week. I mean, I come from a family of doers.
You have good genes, my friend. Good genes.
You do.
You talk about soul vision and ego vision. Tell me the difference, please.
Well, there's an easy distinction, because our ego's vision is made from what we think we want, what others want for us, what we grew up thinking society wanted for us. Our soul's vision is what our inner wisdom and our heart wants for us. They're very different. And one has to get quiet enough to hear their inner voice so that vision can unfold. It's in there. We just as I was saying before about autopilot, mm-hmm. you actually have to get in there, get into your inner wisdom, to your heart, and see what will make your soul dance. You know, what will make your soul sing for you?
Was making the decision to climb the only decision you could have been happy with?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I had wanted to climb Kilimanjaro for a few years because I had read a book about a woman who had a, you know, this great spiritual awakening and she'd gotten divorced. So it was something I wanted to do and I couldn't find anyone else to do it with me. It's not like saying, hey, do you want to go take a trip to Florida? You know, it's a big, it's a big deal.
Sure.
And then when I was turning 60, I realized, you know, one of the things I was afraid to do is travel alone. You know, I don't even eat dinner in a restaurant alone. So it put together anything that was still on my list of fears for me and this amazing climb that I wanted to prove to myself. So could I have come up with something else? Maybe, but this was already in there for me. It may not be in there. I mean, most people say, wow, I can't believe you did it. You know, rock on, girl, but that would never be for me. And sure, that's fine.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, it's just whatever your Kilimanjaro is. So, yeah, I think it was the perfect evolution for me.
How significant do you think it is that you're a woman, a parent of two, to be a role model in this capacity?
Well, it's huge. And I mean, I think it's big for my daughter-in-laws because they see me as a power woman who can do what I'm doing. I think it's most important for my grandchildren because I'm helping them learn. They'll call me up and they'll say, Nana, I was bigger, better, braver today.
And I love it.
Yeah. And we'll have conversations all the time about trying things, even when you're afraid, because if I could teach parents anything, it would be help your children try a million things and fail often, and learn that the juice is in the journey. It's not in the end. So I never say, you know, to them, oh my God, you know, you did this so well. I'm more like, you were afraid and then you went and did it. I'm so proud of you. So you just change the emphasis instead of it being on the success of the end game. It's about the journey. I'm so glad you tried that. You know, how did you like it? And you know, and I'll tell them all the time about my failures. You know, Nana went out and did this today and I never played, you know, I just started playing pickleball. I'd never played before and I was really bad, but it's so exciting because I'm going to get really good, you know, and it was fun to be bad because now I know that I can try something new and look how much fun it's going to be to grow into it.
Absolutely. Excellent for you. You know, touching on what you just said, the juice is in a journey. I'm so much a believer in that as well, because I tell people, you know, you got to take stock. Yes, it's great to have a goal, but look at what you're doing. Look at what you've accomplished. Each step, you know, every day of progress or working towards a goal. I said, don't discount that, because those are the little pick-me-ups you need in between that will get you to the finish line, metaphorical or on the top of Mount Kilimanjaro, whatever that might be. So it's vital to remember that, especially in these days.
Especially in these days, yes.
Exactly. Where's your book available, Nancy?
My book is on Amazon. It became an international bestseller the first day out. So yeah, I'm really excited. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Barnes & Noble. You can get it anywhere books are sold. It's in bookstores, it's in libraries, it's on audio, it's on ebook, and it's on print. Or you can go to my website, nancypicardlifecoach.com, and you can get it there as well.
That's P-I-C-K-A-R-D. And the book is Bigger, Better, Braver, Conquer Your Fears, Embrace Your Courage, and Transform Your Life. Nancy, it was indeed a great pleasure.
It was so much fun for me. Thank you for having me.
Do you have t-shirts with this emblem made up?
No, I have book. I mean, I have hats. I have great hats.
Okay, you need to send one to your ex-husband on his doorstep. I would love to see his face when he opened that box.
Yeah, well, he's got the book, so hopefully he'll read it.
Yeah, no, he's not going to read it.
But I know, that's what my kids say.
Exactly. Keep doing the great positive work you're doing, Nancy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me and have a great day.
All the best to you.
Bye-bye.
My name's Mark Farrell. This is Insight, and I would be remiss if I didn't talk about how stoked I am that Joe Biden has finally chosen a running mate. And I think Kamala Harris is going to do phenomenal. I mean, I know she can be controversial for some and maybe a little bit too much for others, but she's got the goods. She's got the chops. her background in law as a prosecutor, and all the other vast experience that she has. Yes, she's a woman. Yes, she's half Black. Yes, she's half Indian. She brings a lot of things to the table, but I believe her personality, I believe her insight is a good complement to Joe. I think Joe is a decent candidate, but under the certain circumstances, he's a stellar candidate. And that's what we have to do. We have to push these two across the finish line. Yes, 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 we can do it. My name is Mark Farrell. Thank you so much for spending this Thursday and each Thursday with us. Gary Noah's next, my friends. Enjoy your great Thursday. Be safe, be kind, and catch you here next week. Enjoy.